Welcome to the Jointery Podcast, a podcast where we study the lives of two dads trying to find the balance between the families, hobbies, and work. This week on the Jointery, we discover...
Well, if you go like two blocks this way or two blocks that way, you'll be dead.
Let's search for the meaning of life as it had never been witnessed before. The Jointery Podcast.
You got to say, okay, well, then it really needs to be shrunk a quarter inch. What is a quarter inch in millimeters? And then you find that number out and you shrink it by that number.
Yeah, because this is like, it was so frustrating this morning. I was so excited. This took 7 hours to print overnight, right? And I got up this morning. I printed this guy first. I printed him last night. And I was like, oh, so cute. I'm so excited. And then I printed this thing. And I pulled it off the printer this morning, and I set it up, and I grab the little sleigh, and I slide it, and it gets stuck. I'm like,
dude, that's how
son
like,
of a
like
bitch. I'm like,
what you know how often that type of shit happens to me, dude? It's like fucking the regular. It's like every day, dude.
But bro, it's like the files come together. So why wouldn't they make it so it fits? It just doesn't make any sense. Like,
look at the comments for the file, right? So like in the comments. You might see people are like, yo, your friggin' thing doesn't fit.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at this. Yes, there's a lot more to this than I know, obviously. And I need to spend a lot more time doing research. But, dude, I'm having a blast. I mean, this 3D printer is just insane, dude. And I understand the hype. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm not even going to tell you I told you so because I told you so. I'm not surprised you're printing Christmas stuff, though. Dude, I found a cool file for, like, a jumping Christmas tree.
I saw that. Turn your mic up a teeny bit. I don't know why it's better? So quiet better? Today.
Better? Maybe because I'm farther away from it. Better?
Oh, yeah. There better? It is. I can't. Yeah. It's hard to tell perspective-wise how far you are from it on the camera. And
yeah.
It looks like it's right
in front of it. Does it sound good
now? Yeah, it sounds better.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, Christmas, I mean, I don't know. I was just looking through the file thing last night and, you know, saw this.
There's a lot of fun ones. There's like I have this cool, like, snowflake TIE Fighter one I printed, right?
Yeah,
and, like, there's, like, little Grogu ornaments. And I know Deb likes painting, right?
Yeah.
And, like I think you could be like, hey, find some stuff you would want to paint, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you could really get into doing some of that fun stuff.
Yeah. I know. It's fun. We're kind of burying the lead. I got a 3D printer.
Yay!
Everybody. We finally spent some of the money from Patreon, and I opted to go with a 3D printer, and I'm part of the game now.
So tell me, like, never having done anything this like before, right? Like, what is different between what you expected and what reality is? Like, is it easier, harder? Is it, like, you know, like, what do you think it would be like, and what is it actually like?
It was definitely easy to get going. You know, you always say how easy it is, and it was. Like, I had an issue getting my filament in for the first time, but once you walked me through that, it's been great. It's been amazing. It's been mind blowing. I've spent more time staring at the damn printer than doing anything else this week, like watching it print. Like, I'll just sit there and stare and watch it, like, do all these little tiny, you know, it's almost like I'll just put you this way, not ever having one and not knowing why people, not understanding why people will put like this stuff on Twitch or on, you know, have their own YouTube channels of just watching prints. I get it now. Like, I will sit there and stare at this thing for a half hour. A half hour will go by. I'll be like, oh shit, I've been just not doing nothing but stare at this damn fucking printer printing this stuff. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty incredible, man. And have you found it hard to find files to print?
No, I mean, not yet. I mean, I'm still really confused on, like, there's so many different types of files and so many different, you know what I mean? So like there's that, you know, when you go down to download and you click the download little arrow to drop down on like Maker's World or Things or whatever, and it gives you all the different like STL, SLT, PL, you know, all these different settings, you know what I mean? Like, so
just go with SVG until if you end up deciding to upgrade and get the AMS, then you might want to get the 3MF files, because sometimes people have already pre-colored things, you know?
Oh, okay.
But really just STL is fine.
Yeah, STL. That's what I've been doing, using. And it seems everything seems to work. But yeah, I mean, dude, it's been really a lot of fun. The kids have been all over me.
Did you finish the lightsaber?
Oh, I haven't done a lightsaber yet, but I did that samurai. I did that katana. Oh,
right. How'd that come out?
It came out great. It was awesome. I broke it already, but it came out awesome.
Dude, I printed a candy cane saber and I broke that thing out immediately.
Yeah. I told Frankie, I had it literally off the printer. It took 4 hours to print and it looked amazing. I mean, I still don't understand how, because I'm not a smart man, I don't understand how it, you know, the bed moves back and forth, the nozzle moves back and forth, but it's printing liquid. I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, how does liquid become this? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand it. And it's like, blows my mind. But
the first time I printed a file, I was like, man, if I was high right now, I could sit here and watch this thing forever.
Maybe that's my problem.
You're just like, holy shit. Like, you just sit there and you watch it like, that's plastic. Where's it coming from? How's the world work? My brain is completely changed.
Maybe less bowls during the day while I'm printing on the file.
Or maybe more. I mean, maybe more. You just haven't leaned in hard enough yet. Think
about that. I told Trevor, because Trevor just got his yesterday. And we were talking. I tried to call you to loop you in because we were having some issues at the beginning. That's how easy 3D printing is, by the way. Luke showed me how to do it once. Now I'm actually showing other people how to do it. And it's only been a week. You know what I mean? Like, how to get it set up and everything. That's how easy these bamboo printers are.
I mean, you realize I was working at the time, right?
You were. Yes. You were like half helping me, but helping me. You know what I mean? Like, you were doing what you were doing, but yeah, no.
So I helped to do, man.
Yeah. So I helped Trevor get going. Yeah. No, you've been a ghost all week. I've been trying to get a hold of you. I've been so excited about this, and you have been, You know, you helped me out at the beginning.
I mean, dude, my work has been going fucking crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild, man. We're building this company, and apparently I am not hurting the company, and I'm actually helping, and things are going really well. And, like, so, like, I keep creating more and more work for us, and, you know, so it's like, dude, yesterday, right, I was like, cool. I got two meetings, right? I was like, I'm going to spend the afternoon. I'm going to move this 3D printer, right? I'm going to get that big printer I have. I'm going to get it set up in the basement, right? Yes. I'm going to start printing my giant Lego Darth Vader, right? This is going to be dope, right? Fuck, man. Dude, by the time 10 o'clock hit, I had filled my whole entire afternoon with meetings.
Yeah.
The only part of the day that I wasn't working is Jackie and I went to lunch, and we went to this drive-in hot dog joint in Chicago. Ooh. Famous. Called Superdog.
Oh, dude, I never heard of that.
So fucking cool. The Blues will be like, we roll in, right?
Yeah.
And this dude's like, you can't park here. And I was like, all right, like, we're filming. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I back straight up so I can look at whatever's in that spot. And the Bluesmobile shows up. Okay.
From the Blues Brothers?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, from at this 75-year-old hot dog stand. Okay, the Bluesmobile shows up. I'm like, this is as Chicago as it gets on a Friday, right? Yeah. And before that car showed up, I was like, well, I'm like, look at the jacket. I'm like, if they're waiting for a car to show up, I'm like, the most interesting car in the parking lot right now is this Buick Grand National, the GNX 350, right? That car from the 80s, right? That the one that was similar to the one that Denzel drove in Training Day. Right?
Oh,
Black, badass, motherfucking, like, we're ready to fucking go. And I was like, that's the most interesting car in this lot right now. And then the Bluesmobile showed up. And I was like, Yeah, that's fucking awesome. And it turns out it turns out the dude who was driving it was Han from the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah. They're filming some like pilot for a show, right? And
I'm like,
I did not expect like a show at lunch today. I'm like, I just expected delicious hot dogs.
That is crazy. The first time I was not the first time, but like the second time into Chicago after I got out of boot camp, we were there walking through and I saw ER being filmed. Seems like Chicago, they do it right out there in the city a lot. You know, it's pretty cool, like as far as filming goes.
But people in Chicago don't like get excited about film productions like in California, right? I've heard people.
This seems counterintuitive considering that we do it so much out here. You would think it would be less of a big deal. You know what I mean?
No, dude. Like when fucking there's movie shit, like most people are going to be like, this is incredibly inconvenient for me in my normal schedule.
Yeah.
And like if you see celebrities, people in Chicago aren't going to be like, oh my God, it's so and so. They're going to be like, oh, it's that dude from Fast and Furious? All right, cool. Anyways. Like that's how that conversation goes.
Yeah, and stop blocking the parking.
Yeah, like bro, you fucking move. Like I don't give a fuck who you are. Like, can you fucking move? Like I wanted that parking spot, you know?
Yeah.
So we're not mean though, you know.
Oh, sorry, what did you say?
We're not mean about it, you know, but like we just don't give any fucks about it.
Yeah. Did it have the speakers
like,
on?
Like I'm famous and I'm like, yeah, but I make sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had the speaker on top, and the speaker actually had some Christmas lights on it. Oh, and okay. I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, that car looks like shit. But I was like, because of the way that it was in the Blues Brothers movie, I'm like, you don't have to keep that car in pristine condition. Keep it authentic.
No.
You know?
It's supposed to look like that. That's the whole point.
Right, exactly. But yeah, it was 100%. It even had the license plate that said Blues on it. So, yeah. I think this one was the one that they keep outside of the House of Blues in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Oh. It's easy to get to.
Because I think I remember the one that was out there had the license plate Blues on it, you know?
Yeah.
And they like keep it outside. Like they don't fucking care.
Yeah.
What a
snows next.
Fine. Doesn't start like that. That's on brand. Like it's fine. You know,
That's funny, man. God, yeah. What a
that
great
hot dog stand is the fucking best. It's called Super Dog.
What do they have? Like, what is it famous for? Are they foot long dogs? Are they thick? And you know, are they
so the Super Dog is different than any other hot dog joint in Chicago, right?
Okay.
Because hot dog places in Chicago, they typically sell Vienna beef hot dogs, and Super Dog does not.
Oh, okay.
I think they sell this higher end version of it. Called an Eisner one, I think is what it's called. I'm not 100% positive, but it's their own specific hot dog, right? And it is like the size of a jumbo hot dog, right?
Yeah.
But what's so awesome about this fuck, and they cook it perfectly, and it's in like a steamed bun where like the bun is like almost too soft, right? Mm-hmm. And you got all your normal Chicago style toppings. I always go mustard pickle pepper is my
favorite. Yeah.
Toppings of choice.
Mustard, pickle, pepper.
I don't like to overcomplicate things. But it comes in a cardboard box, right? That is like the cutest little box. And it's also filled with like crispy, crinkle cut French fries and like a half of a pickled green tomato or some shit like that. Jackie loves the tomatoes. I'm like, those tomatoes are whatever. And then I always get a bunch tamale with it. Like, you know, those like not a, like normal Mexican style tamale, the ones that are like in like the plastic wrapper. Right. And like
plastic wrapper.
Yeah. And like they're steamed in the wrapper.
Like, okay. Yeah. It's
like ground cornmeal. Yeah, around ground tamale.
Yeah, the masa. Yeah. Yeah.
In like tube form.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So this place sells 4 mini ones of those, where they're all like the size of your finger, right?
Oh, okay.
So I'm fucking popping those things like French fries, man. They're great.
Yeah. Is it a snap dog? Is it have that type of feel to it? Or that, well, because I know the Vienna ones
it's definitely, if it really pops in, it's very juicy.
Okay. I was just curious. Because, you know, out here we have
hot dog juices get all over you.
Who's got the better fries? Is it Superdog or Portillo's? Because it sounds like they both have the crinkle Superdog. Crut.
Superdog. What? Superdog's fries are bigger, right, than Portillo's. Uh-huh. They would be almost like a... like, if the regular Portillo ones are like normal fry size, these are like steak fry size.
Almost. Okay, so these are steak size crinkle
cut. But they cook them way better. Like, I like Portillo's fries, but Portillo's is always undercooks their fries to me.
Oh, really? Nah, yeah. That's weird.
I like crispy fries. I like crispy fries.
The Portillo's out here, they cook them right. They're always crispy. They're you know, they're soft, but they're you know, when you bite into them, they have a crisp to them.
Yeah.
I love Portillo fries, man. They're so fucking good.
Did you ever get the Polish from Portillo's?
No, I've never gotten the Polish from there. I always go Italian beef or the jumbo dog, one of the two.
Those are both very good decisions. Like, you're not making a wrong decision. But one time, you should get a Polish sausage from there.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, everything's good.
And get it Maxwell Street style, which by the way, you probably don't know what Maxwell Street is. But
I've heard of it, but I don't know exactly what it is.
Holy shit. I got a story about Maxwell Street. It's with mustard and grilled onions is how that comes, the style.
Oh, okay.
So Maxwell Street is an area of Chicago that used to be sketchy as fuck. I'm pretty sure that's where you would go to go buy like stolen goods, right? Or like knock off purses and shit like that.
I
remember when I was young, when I say young, I had my driver's license, right?
Yeah.
And I drove down there, okay, because I wanted to get a pair of shoes or something, right? And I remember parking down there, and it is like straight out of like the Blues Brothers, like street hustler kind of like if you saw like this, like that street would fit right in the Blues Brothers movie, right?
Like straight out of Shaft or something, like that style of, you know, like just gritty.
Fucking like, yeah, like dudes on the street hustling, right?
Yeah.
I think my dad bought a boat from a guy who had a shoe store on that street, right? Because the guy was always like yelling at people, cash money, cash money, cash money. And he bought a boat that he never put in the water, and the boat's name was Cash Money. So like growing up, the boat that we had that he shared with his brother was called Cash Money, right? Dude, people are always like, this fucking boat is great. But I remember going down there to buy something one time, and it was overwhelming for me because I grew up in the suburbs, you know? And I'm like looking around and like trying to see what's up. And like I'm talking to some people, and they're like, hey, like just stick on Maxwell Street though. And I'm like, why? They're like, because you're a young white guy. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And they're like, well, if you go like two blocks this way or two blocks that way, you'll be dead. And I was like, okay, I'll stick right here then. I'm good right here. I don't need to be dead over there. So we don't need a proof point. Maxwell Street was awesome, dude. And on Maxwell Street, they had this fucking legendary hot dog stand, you know? And the hot dog stand has been since moved to like off Maxwell Street, because now it's like a fucking, you know, completely been redeveloped. There they sold a lot of Polish sausages, and they sold it Maxwell Street style. So
yeah, it was dope. I've heard of that, you know, that restaurant, or I've heard of that style or anything, but you know, I've never had one.
Yeah, but Maxwell Street was a real, real, real sketchy part of Chicago.
Is that on the south side?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not far on the south side. So, yeah, but don't think that the Chicago sketchiness is just limited to the south side. It is also very alive and well on the west side. So,
yeah. West side.
Every time I drive home, I got to drive through the west side. And when I drive through there, I always see weird and funny shit.
So, yeah, yeah.
Dude, like dudes driving like ATVs and shit around. Like I'm like, fuck you doing these ATVs in the city, man? Like doing wheelies down the street and shit. I'm like, I'm just trying to get home.
Dude, we have those out here too. We have kids on ATVs driving down the street doing wheelies.
Or like those gangs of dudes on the mini bikes. Right? Yeah. Get those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you guys are awesome. No one ever fucks with me, and I don't ever fuck with anyone. So it's like, it works. I'm never nervous, you know?
Yeah, I felt pretty safe walking through Chicago when I was there. I mean, at night, like, there was certain area. I mean, I was mainly in like the downtown area, you know, that area of Chicago, you know what I mean? Like Michigan Avenue and stuff like that. So it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't in like. The most
dangerous people in Chicago are the politicians and the cops. So.
Yeah, I feel a lot scared. It's a lot scarier out here in LA in certain areas. I mean, anyways, I feel that way. Like there's certain parts of LA that.
I mean, half the year here, right?
Yeah.
Dudes don't want to go outside. Right? Like, they're like,
it's so cold.
Yeah. Cold. I want to go fucking stand on the corner with my boys when it's fucking 2 degrees outside. Fuck
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
We'll go out there for 10 minutes. Let's go.
Yeah. You know? The weather kind of helps regulate at times.
Yeah. Like, everybody needs to chill the fuck out. That's why, like, when like summer kicks in, people just go fuck crazy. They're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. I know. You told me that, like, yeah, when summer comes, sundresses come out. You know, everything starts to kind of wake up there.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
So, all right. So have you guys set up your Christmas tree yet?
No. We have our outside lights up and we have inside decorations up, but no tree yet. It's probably going to happen early next week.
Is it a real tree or is it a dead tree? Is a fake tree?
We get a dead one every year. No, we go real every year.
All right, dude, we got our tree set up, man. And dude, I just like sitting there and watching Jackie and the kids put the ornaments on, right? You know,
yeah.
And like Ellie puts this ornament on the tree, and she just starts laughing, and she looks at Bubs, right? And she's like, Bubs, you see it? He starts laughing, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Look at the picture I sent you.
Oh. There you go.
So you see that ornament, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Bubs looks at Jackie, right? She goes, you see that? See that ornament? And they're laughing, you know?
Yeah.
And Jackie's like, yeah, well, why is that funny? And Bubs goes, she looks like she's falling down the tree. And she's like, Bubs, why is that funny? He goes, her vagina is getting crushed.
Well, I mean, it does look that way.
Dude, is it because she's like falling down the tree and she's got like a branch coming out between her legs? I thought they were going to be like, it looks like a huge penis, you know?
Or like it looks like... Or it looks like she just shit the bird out or something. You know what I mean? That's underneath her. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like something like that or something.
Dude, she was fucking... They were cracking me up, dude. These kids have been fucking on something lately, man. Dude, I know I teased it in the Joytree Patreon group, which if you're not a patron, then you don't get these teases. But dude, like 2 days ago, Ellie rolls up to me. And that, like, they're both Bubs and Ellie right there. And she looks at me, she goes, I want to use the N-word.
Oh, yeah, I got to know about this.
I go, what? She's like, I want to call Bubs the N-word. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean, the N-word? Right? Yeah, and I'm like really nervous, right? Because I'm like, you know, I'm like, I know that's not appropriate, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like... And I look at Ellie. I was like, what do you want to call him? Just whisper it quietly. She goes, the N word. I go, I know. What do you think the N word means? She goes, nincompoop.
Nincompoop.
I was like, what? She's like, yeah, nincompoop. I go, yeah, you could call Bubs a nincompoop. That's fine. She goes, you're a nincompoop. I was like, I was like, Jackie, did you hear any of that? She's like, no. I'm like, oh my God. I am unqualified as a parent.
Nincompoop. That is interesting though. That's a, yeah. When you said that, I was just like, we said that in the thread. I was like, Whoa. Wow. Luke's dealing with some serious stuff over there this week.
Dude, I'm always like, always just unprepared for what comes out of their mouths.
So she was obviously trying to say nincompoop, but she thought nincombob.
I don't know. And I don't know. And I think she's fucking with me. Like, because, like, these kids are really smart. They're smarter than you think they are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, like, she might have heard about the N-word, okay? And, like, she might have been like, oh, that's bad, and we're not going to say that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Like, she might have been exposed to it, right? But, like, she immediately uses that as a way to fuck with me.
Yeah, right? I was just about to say, yeah. Is that her way of messing with you?
Yeah, like I want to do this wildly inappropriate thing, and I'm like, oh god, what do you think it is? And she's just like, I'll make up nincompoop, see what my dad's reaction is.
Nincompoop.
I'm just stressed out. She keeps asking me to listen to the podcast too, and I'm like, you can't listen to the podcast until like you're 21 or 18 or some shit. She's like, yeah. She's like, but you talk about me. I'm like, yes, I do, but it's not how you think I'm talking about you. Like,
yeah, she's dying to listen to it. My kids have asked me about it a few times. Penny asked me about it recently. Dad, I can listen to it on your jointery, or I can listen to it on Spotify, right? I'm like, yeah, but it's not appropriate for you, Penny. I'm like, you can't be listening to this. Someday when you're old enough, you can listen, but right now,
you know, like the way I look at it is Ellie loves, like, I take a lot of pictures. My whole family has always taken a lot of pictures, right?
Yeah.
And all my photos get saved to my Google Photos, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a Google Photos, Google Home thing we have in our kitchen, and it's always rolling through the pictures that are in my photos, right? So, like, kid pictures show up from a long time ago, or, like, does a lot of on this day kind of thing. Here's another picture from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, the kids are always fascinated at looking at pictures of themselves when they were young, you know? And it's so easily accessible. I could just type Ellie in there and drag it down to 2015, and boom, there's all... Ellie is a one-year-old, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so she's always wanting to see pictures, and that's how I envision, like, the podcast, right? Is that, like, you know, we've been doing this podcast, what, now 2 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. We're on season 3, so it's got to be at least 2 years, right? How many episodes do we have?
We're coming up on 2 years. We did 52 in the first season, so that's a year of podcasts. And now we're at 35 or 6, and then you decided to switch it to the third season. So then, we haven't quite made it 2 years, but we're coming up on 2 years.
I think our anniversary is like in February, right?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, but hey, look, it's the jointery that none of this matters.
it is interesting though. I said this to my friend the other day because they were, you know, asking the same thing, and I said, yeah, it's kind of like it'll be a something that our kids can look back on and, you know, listen to and think our dads were idiots. You know what I mean? But you know, it's fun.
Yeah, I would find it really interesting to listen to audio of my dad talking to his brothers, right?
Yeah.
When they were my age, right? Like, to me, that would be fascinating. You know, yeah. Or when Ellie was my age, right? Like I'd be interested in hearing about that.
Yeah, so would you. I mean, I think it's a really cool, like, you know, time capsule or something. You know, I think it's cool that we're still getting new listeners too. You know what I mean? We just got, shout out to, Boyden Woodworks. He signed up and, started listening to us this week. He posted a story this week about him starting to listen to the podcast on his drives to work. And, yeah, man. So, Boyden Woodworking, man. Thanks for listening in. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So if somebody asks about the podcast and they're like, "Hey, where should I start?" Right? Do you tell them like at the beginning, or you tell them like, "Just jump in now"?
honestly,
I think we're much better than we were when we first started.
I actually think we're worse. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. It might have been when I was talking to Trevor when he was telling us how bad our podcast was.
Dude, he's 5 feet tall. I can't take him seriously.
I feel like we kind of got it. We started this thing off telling a lot of stories. Like we got it. We were like heavy into storytelling when we first started this thing. And I think that's because we were still new friends. Like not that we're, we were newer friends, you know what I mean? So like we were still getting to know each other over this podcast. So like a lot of these stories that you were telling me and I was telling you, like of, you know, back in the day working at Disneyland and, you know, all those stories that I feel like, we've kind of got away from storytelling a little bit, you know what I mean? And, which is, you know, it's fine, but I think our first, 10 episodes were really good. You know what I mean?
I think so too.
Yeah. Even being a brand new podcast, I thought we killed it right out of the gate, I think.
Dude, I think when you told that story about how you almost killed all those people at Disney, right?
Yeah.
Like to me, I was like, when I heard that, dude, I was like, this is a fun podcast.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. We need to tap back into our stories, lifetime's stories. I got
more stories to tell, dude.
I can't wait to hear more stories. You know, I think our fans out there, our listeners,
our people
would enjoy hearing more crazy stories from us. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, shit, dude. I know I got some stupid shit I've done in my lifetime. So maybe we have a story time. Story time with Luke and Ben.
Yeah. You got a sound effect for that one?
No, I'll
find you already one, forget though. You have sound effects at your disposal?
No, I fucking love this thing, dude. What was this one? I forgot. I added this one last. I don't remember what it is.
Dude, the taste of the bit.
Oh.
Yay! Yeah.
Oh, dude, taste I was telling. Dude, this song has been stuck in everybody's head. Everybody's getting this song stuck in their head.
Dude, you should change the music in the beginning of the podcast to this song.
I thought about that. But our intro is so classic, dude. It's iconic. You know what I mean? Like,
the outro music's fine.
Yeah, so. I like having it under our patrons because they're the ones who introduced us to the song. So, you know what I mean? Can I just say one thing? I fucking, as much as we keep getting posts from him, I miss Kyle Foot. I miss seeing his face, man. I need to call him. Kyle, I miss you, bro.
He's way too good looking to hide.
Yeah. I mean, dude, honestly, one of my favorite all-time pictures is of Kyle. He's got this great, I got a great picture of him with laser engraved in my shop of him. He's standing by like this old hot rod and he's wearing a shirt that looks like he's a mechanic, and like it's just like, I don't know why, but it's just like it looks, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, it should be a photo from GTA 5.
Grand Theft Auto.
You know how they show all those, like at the beginning of the movies or the game, they show all those pictures of the guy standing by the, you know, or the girl in the bikini. Like that picture of Kyle could be fucking right in the beginning of that game, dude. It's so perfect.
There's a trending filter on TikTok right now that turns people's pictures into Grand Theft Auto
screenshots,
like that style of animation, right?
Yeah,
and you could run that photo through that filter, and you will have Grand Theft Kyle.
Grand Theft Kyle. I love it. I'll find it while we're talking, but I already kind of did that. I turned it into, I put it through, what was that program we were all using fucking a couple years ago?
Corel Draw?
The one that made us all look like cartoon characters and stuff.
Oh, like yeah.
Apostle or, some shit.
So you ran it through there?
I ran it through there, and I'm going to find it, and then I'm going to send it to you so you can see it. But, yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like we need to get back into storytelling a little bit. You know what I mean? So not to put any pressure on you today to come up with anything, but
no, dude. It was funny, man. I was just hanging out with a buddy of mine, my buddy who I'm working with, right? And I've known this guy for fucking 15 years, right? And one of my best friends, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, and he was asking me, you know, because he's like, you know, he's like, sometimes he goes, I get worried that this job is just going to be too crazy for you, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, honestly, I was like, on a scale of 1 to holy shit, right? This job is like maxed out at like a 3 or a 4 compared to my previous jobs.
Oh.
And he was like, what do you mean? And I started telling him stories of my career in radio and television.
Oh, right? Bro. Did you tell him that story about the time that you got left in that neighborhood?
No, I didn't tell him that story. not yet. Right. But like, I was like, dude, I told him the story about, my getting hired and, my first week at Q101, right?
Yeah.
And because I think this one is like a lot of my stories are just so crazy that they're almost not believable, right? Yeah. But this one is just so fucking, I think it's so funny. And basically what happened is that I was trying to move out of Indianapolis. I wanted to move back to Chicago, okay? Yeah. I was like, I'd broken up with this girl. Okay. And I was like, I went into my job and I was like, fuck you guys, man. I'm like, I love you, but like, I'm putting in a month's notice. And like, I had just been doing really good at the job. And my boss was like, please don't quit. Come on, man. Like you really want to move to Chicago? And I was like, yes. And he goes, why are you giving me a month notice? I go, because I'm taking every Friday off and I'm going to go apply for jobs in Chicago. And if I don't have a job at the end of the month, I'm still moving to Chicago without a job. Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what are you gonna do? I was like, I don't know, I'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it. And he was like, whatever, man. He was like, fine. So like, I set up all these interviews and I interviewed every Friday, and I ended up getting there's two radio stations, right? And one was Q101, which was alternative rock. And keep in mind, timing wise, this was like 1999. Okay. So, you know, and this is like, it just turned like it would, no, it was like November of 98. Right.
Okay.
So that's when I started, was November of 98. And I know this because every job that I had changed was always in November up until like my last two jobs. It was funny.
That's so weird.
It was real weird. So, so when I went to interview there, they had this DJ in the morning show called Man Cow. You ever heard of Man Cow?
I think I did. I think I, that name sounds familiar. Yeah.
So Man Cow was a shock jock, right? So it's alternative rock, 98, 99. So you think of where alternative rock music was at the time, right?
Yeah.
Really popular. The internet was blowing up, okay? Mm-hmm. And Man Cow was this shock jock. And a whole cast of goofy-ass dudes in there, and he was like, I'm going to be more crazy than Howard Stern.
Chainsaw and Dippy Dots.
Dude, it was, no, they had a dude named Turd. They had a guy named Cheese. They had another dude named Al Roker Jr., who was not Al Roker. He was just black, which I'm still
black.
Yeah.
So they just called him the name of a black guy? Some random black guy.
Yep. And then they had like a rotating cast of some random girl in there. And the random girl that was always in there was like the hottest mess of women that you could pop, always super good looking, and like just playing, had no part of her life together.
Yeah, right? Playing that role. Yeah, that's the role.
Right. So, so like on Fridays they would have all their ridiculous guests in. Right. So I go to interview there on a Friday morning. Okay, and I'm sitting there, right, and I'm waiting to meet with the local sales manager, and I've got this gray little suit on with a white shirt and a black tie. I think I'm looking sharp, right? This is pre. Wait, hold on. Yeah, this is pre beard Luke, right? So I'm clean shaven,
clean cut Luke. Yeah,
clean cut, young,
trim, looking trim.
Oh, I was not trim, but I was not like as big as I am now. But like, like, wait, let me. So, like, in 99, I would have been. Hold on. Let me do some quick back of the napkin math.
Wait, when did you graduate high school?
92.
Okay, so you're only a couple years ahead of me. Yeah.
So I was 24 years old. Okay. I'm sitting there. Mm-hmm. 24-year-old Luke sitting in the lobby of this fucking alternative rock radio station. And in the lobby with me were hookers, strippers, a pimp, a few little people, and this Mexican rap group named Los Marihuanos. And they all were wearing fucking gigantic boas of pot leaves, right? And they're all sitting in this lobby, and then the receptionist, right?
Fucking 90s radio, bro, was the best.
Dude, it was so great. And I'm sitting in this lobby waiting to go in there, okay? And I'm looking around, and I'm like, what in the actual fuck is this? Like, what the fuck is this? Okay?
Yeah.
I didn't even listen to alternative rock at the time. I was listening to all hip-hop, right? I'm like, 90s hip-hop? Are you kidding me?
So funny.
Dude, I didn't have much choice. Like, the hip-hop station wasn't going to hire me, right?
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
We're not going to hire some young white guy. Like, that's stupid. I'm like, but I'm working for a hip-hop station in Indianapolis. And they're like, we don't fucking care.
I'm like, so wait, this whatever. Alternative station had the pimps and the hoes and the rap group?
Yeah, and they're all going... And they're all waiting to go on the show. And like, so I ended up getting two job offers to work in Chicago, okay? I got the job offer to work at Q101, and they gave me no account list, right? They're like, you're going to come in here, you're going to get the fucking phone book. I'm like, I've been doing radio for 3.5 years. What are you talking about? And they're like, we don't fucking care who you are. And then there was this other station, which was like an R&B radio station. And yeah. They were like, we're going to give you this really nice account list, right? Yeah. Where like you were going to make good money right out of the gate, right? And I was like, I'll take that rock station job. I want to see what's up with those hookers and shit. Like, let's see what's going on over there, right? Yeah. And it did not fucking let down at all. I worked there for like a year, almost 2 years. For 2 years. And I was there during Y2K, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, dude, this radio station was like on fire because everybody wanted to target young white dudes because of the internet, right? And so like they were just getting so much money, it was ridiculous. So like here I am at this radio station, everybody's getting way overpaid to what they normally would be getting, right?
Yeah.
And even I was doing really well right out of the gate.
This is the late 90s too, so I mean alternative music at that point was huge. So
it was
like
huge.
Nirvana was 91, but I'm just saying when they came in to the 90s, that's when that's when it all popped off and it just never stopped for a while. Yeah.
Dude, they had like the number one morning show for adults 18-49, dude. It was it was huge. And dude, my first week at this radio station, okay? I'm sitting at my desk. My sales manager's office is like right like 10, 15 feet from where I sit. He could hear me talking on the phone. It was so close, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm talking to some client and I'm like, you know, I wanted to introduce myself. You know, I'm Luke. I work for Q101 and, you know, I want to talk to you about your marketing, you know, and your advertising. So if you're interested in letting, you know, young, affluent white dudes know about your business, you know?
Yeah.
And like, dude, my whole sales pitch is like, do you want me shopping at your store? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, then you need to give me money because there's like fucking 100,000 dudes just like me who listen to the station every day, right? That was my whole sales pitch. I was like, dudes, white dudes? Like, I'm your guy.
You like white, young white professionals?
Yeah. Like, who make good money and don't know what to fucking do with it and they just blow it on stupid shit? Let's go. Dude, I had all these bars as clients and nightclubs. Dude, that place is a fucking mess. But so my first week there, right, I'm on the phone and I'm talking to some guy, okay, and in comes the morning show DJ, Mancow, and with him is a woman who had the body of a model, right?
Yeah.
All she was wearing was high heels, okay?
That's all she was wearing?
All high heels. And he walks her into the sales department and into the local sales manager's office, which is right outside my office, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And he's like, Fred, I got a new recruit for you. She wants to work in sales. You're like, do you want to sit down and interview her right now? And I stopped talking on the phone. And the guy who was like, I was talking, he was like, hello? Oh, I was like, sir, my manager's calling me into his office. Do you mind if I call you back? I think I'll be able to. And then he, dude, hangs up on me. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever. I don't care. Fucking put the phone down. Mm-hmm. I'm just like sitting there. I'm like looking around the sales department. I'm like, who else is here right now to see this shit? Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. That's how that fucking working at that station was the whole time I was there. It was like,
that's crazy, dude.
I'm like walking by the studio in the morning and fucking the whole thing was completely filled with weed smoke. Right. Like, you couldn't even see. They were hotboxing each other in the studio. Yeah. Right. You know, and like, I mean, it was nonstop crazy. That job, and most of my clients were bars and nightclubs. So like I would go and visit these nightclubs and like, they'd be like, hey, we don't even want to talk to you before 9 PM. I'm like, can we like talk during like normal business hours? Like I gotta be at work at like 8:30 in the morning. If I'm not there at 8:30, they give me a really hard time. And they're like, no, sorry, if you want our business, you got to be here when we're here. I'm not waking up early for you.
Yeah.
And so like I'd be there at 9, and then they all would love doing this shit where they'd be like, let me see if I could get a better deal out of Luke, right? I'm gonna send this cute bartender over there and just keep feeding him drinks and make him wait for like an hour to meet with me, right?
Yeah, it's the move.
So like they chat me up and I'm drinking and I'm fucking getting loose and like I go in there and they'd be like, you having fun? I'm like, yeah, I'm having a good time. And they're like, okay, let's talk about marketing. I'm like, sure, like, whatever, man. And then they'd be like, okay, we'd talk for like an hour, whatever. And then they'd be like, okay, we're going to place an order. And they give me like fucking $2,000 in cash, right?
Whoa.
And I was buzzing pretty hard, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And all these bars were not in great neighborhoods. So like when I'm rolling out of this bar, I've got a few grand in cash in my pocket, okay? I'm like, please just remember to fucking put the money in like, so I stuffed it in my pocket, you know, and I'd go home and I'd wake up and I'd roll into work. And of course I was fucking late. And like my boss was a dick and he'd be like, dude, what the fuck? Why are you late again? And I was like, I was getting more orders and I slapped the cash on his desk.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I was like, my clients aren't fucking awake during business hours. And he was like, well, you need to, I'm like, he's like, you need better clients. I'm like, then give me some fucking accounts to work on because the easy money is in these bars and nightclubs. And I'm bringing a lot of cash. Dude, I was bringing in like 10, 20 grand a week in cash into the radio station. They kept telling me, like, can't your clients pay in checks? Like, we don't want to even run into the fucking bank all these times. I'm like, no, man, they're fucking degenerates. Like, what are you talking about?
I picture you in the 90s like that. Like, have you seen Better Call Saul?
Yes.
Have you watched that show? That's kind of what I picture you as. Like you were Saul Goodman back in the radio station days, man. Like dealing with those people he had to deal with and all that stuff. Like that's exactly
what it's exactly what it's like. And like, dude, they used to fucking have sales meetings, right?
It's all
and
good.
I was drunk at that radio station 6 days a week, 5 days a week at least, right? Like just like I'd be out drinking, right?
Oh.
I was single. I was making good money.
Yeah.
Like my clients were ridiculous. I was like having a great time. I had this huge apartment, dude, all by myself. It's three because I was a fucking idiot. I rented this apartment that I thought was near Wrigley Field, and it was not. And so I was in this like Polish and Mexican neighborhood, but I had a 3-bedroom apartment all to myself. Right?
Yeah.
It was great. And but yeah, like dude, like they like at that station, dude, like I would be so hungover, right? Some days that they would have these sales meetings and I would roll into this office, like, and not even have enough time to hit my desk on the way to the sales department, right?
Yeah.
For a sales meeting, right? And I would sit down in the back of the sales meeting and there was me and all these other goofballs. And there was this one lady who used to be, her name was Bev, and she used to be like a tour manager for all these rock bands, right?
Oh yeah, and
so she was just
Bev's got some stories.
Bev's had the greatest stories, right?
Yeah, Bev's got some good stories.
But she was like in her 60s, right?
Yeah,
and like they would fucking make bets, right? That during these sales meeting, who would fall asleep first, me or Bev? You know, people were sleeping with each other at that station. Like, oh, yeah. Obviously, like I had to tell another sales guy, I'm like, dude, if you're going to bring your girlfriend in to bang in the office, do not bang on my desk again. Right. Yeah. Cause like I came in the morning, fucking all the papers are all on the floor. I'm like, and I knew it was, and he'd be like looking at me. Right. I'm
yeah.
Like, why are you going to fucking do that? Like, that's not cool, man. Like, like, just go fuck on the sales manager's desk. That's the move. He's a dick. You know, he's like, well, his office was closed. I was like, so my desk was the alternative, you asshole?
Not that I participated because I was a, you know, married man, but I know there were people who would participate in the prize closet, bro. The promo prize closet. Yeah, dude. That was the spot. That would be the spot where people would go to do that, and it would also be the spot where all the because it was a sports station, so we would do sports center updates and stuff. So they would have like these guys doing like every like you know 15 minutes or so, they'd come on and do an update and whatnot. But these guys would all sleep in there too, like they'd all sleep in the prize closet or whatever. So you'd walk in there to get something, and you'd either be stepping over guys sleeping. Or you'd be stepping by a couple of the promo kids, you know, doing whatever they were doing.
Oh, yeah, man. Dude, I had one time I'm sitting there, okay, and I had this client, and it was called the Matrix Nightclub, okay? And the thing about the Matrix Nightclub is that once a week, they would set up a full-size boxing ring in their bar, okay?
Oh, sounds fun.
And they would let people fight in the ring after they had started drinking.
Right? Of course.
Okay. And I went to this a couple times, and it was like a couple drunk Southside Irishmen just want to fucking fight it out. Women were in there fighting it out. They'd be like, jeez, who wants to fight next? And like fucking eat people in the bar, like, I'll fucking fight. Let's go. Like, that's the kind of bar this was. Everybody who was there was okay with fighting somebody else. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like people were always like, hey, Luke, you want to fight? I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like, no, I fight with my words. You're a fucking dick. Suck it. So, like, but the Matrix Nightclub was a, and that guy was really trying to always get me fucked up. But one time I'm sitting there at my desk, and there was this guy in the morning show, and his name was Turd, right?
Yeah, of course. Turd
was the stuntman of the morning show, right? When they would do those,
the man, like, on the street. The man on the street.
Yeah, they would do ridiculous stunts with him, and this is before YouTube, right?
He's the we have one of those out here on our radio station. His name was Beer Mug. Same thing.
One time they gave him a wine enema live on the radio. Okay, he was not in a good position. All right.
I am laughing because, bro, if anybody's worked in radio, you know that there's like, you know, guys who are those guys at the station who were just like, just beat up on, just like, and they were willing at the time, they were willing to do anything to get that job, right? Because it's like, you know, if you were in the radio, you start anywhere in the, you try and get into these bigger markets, and not the Chicago at the time, it was a big market, but you know, it's bigger than fucking
market at the time. It was huge.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking like the smaller stations, but yeah. You're willing to do whatever it takes to get on the air, man. Whatever it takes.
Dude. So this guy comes up to my desk one time, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, Luke, he's like, you got that bar with the boxing ring, right? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, we want to do cockfights. And I was
shout
like,
out, shout out to Dave Miller's dad. Anyways, go on.
I was like, excuse me? Cockfights? He goes, yeah, we want to put raw chickens on our hands and box. He's like, do you think your bar owner would let us do this?
What and a I was great like, take on that. I love it.
Yeah, I was, and I looked at him. I was like, I mean, I know technically I need to ask him, but yes, he will say yes to this. Fucking they laid out a tarp, and fucking the morning show jock was punching him in the face with chickens on his hand. I was like, this is the most disgusting fucking shit I could ever dream of.
Bar
owner is like, this is great. I'm like nobody's gonna come to your bar after this, like, because this is the cockfight place.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? I know people who would.
I mean, probably. Dude, I was making this guy a fucking fortune, man. He didn't fucking care.
You know? What a great take on cockfighting. That's so hilarious.
Dude, that's what like my life was like on a daily basis. I've forgotten more ridiculous stories during this time than like I could possibly imagine, man. Dude, like, like there was this one bar called Bar Chicago, man, and they had like is this chain of bars that was all over the city or all over the country, and it was Bar New York and Bar LA and Bar Bar Chicago, man, was like the bar that did not start popping until midnight, and it was all drunk college kids, you know, getting completely ridiculous. And girls on the bar, and they would be dudes, like a little person on the bar pouring shots into people's mouths. And I was the only dude that they would let on the bar, right? I would roll up to that place, and I was like such a high level of VIP status, bro, that like I would be like, hey, I got like 20 people with me. And they're like, let them all in. I mean, there's like a line down the block, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had fucking free drinks all the time, man. It was insane. I fell off that bar one time, bro. Like,
wait, you mean like physically like get up on the bar and dance like that type of on the bar?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a picture of me on the bar in there. And this is not like Trim Luke. This is like I enjoy a sandwich Luke. So like
Coyote Ugly style up on the bar, dude, kind of thing.
And there's this huge bartender. Yes. Dude, I saw them fucking in his giant staircase leading this bar. I saw them throw people out of the bar down the stairs, right?
Like, oh, damn.
Dude, it was fucking real rough in there, man. And, like, I was on the bar one time, and I was so drunk that I fell backwards. And, like, the giant bartender that was there happened to probably save my life because he put his hand up, and my back hit his hand, and he steered me towards the beer cooler instead of the floor, right?
Yeah.
And I bounced off the beer cooler onto the floor, and I was like, I should probably not be on this bar anymore, right? That's a bad idea. Right?
What are you doing? Like, would you just be dancing?
I was in my 20s. That shit doesn't hurt.
Were you dancing?
I was pouring shots. No, I was the shot guy.
Oh, I see.
So everybody's at the bar. I've got the like most disgusting well tequila, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this the cheapest possible imagined margarita mix. And I'll be like, tilt your head back, and I fucking pour both of them in the mouth. They're like, ah, let's keep going, you know. And like,
so Cuervo 1800 gold is what you're saying, and
yeah, dude, like 1800 silver, right?
Silver,
like fucking, yeah. Or bronze, and like fucking our morning, our DJ was there all the time. It was the slutty morning show girl, right?
Mm.
And they were always like, more people get excited about you being here than her being there, because they would they would announce me, and they'd be like, Luke from Q101's here, and people thought I was on air, and they were like, holy shit, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
and like
she
was just there to try to have sex with the DJ. So like they were like why are we paying her to be here when we just got to give you drinks? Like like, do we even need to advertise that you're gonna be here? I'm like, no. I'm like, but you need to pay me. They're like, okay, fine. They're like, can we just pay you cash instead of pay the radio station? And I'm like, no, you know, because
unfortunately,
nowadays I would have said yes to that, but back then I was like, no, I'm not shady, just an alcoholic 20-year-old, something-year-old. So, dude, it was fucking wild, man. Like, was wild. You know, it started to calm down when I, you know, when I left there because I was. That's when I left there. No. It did not get. It was after I left the Mexican station is when I met Jackie. And so my going out wildness had been cut down considerably. But before then, dude, holy shit.
Yeah, I would have liked to.
I was a hot mess, bro.
I would have liked to have known you back then in 90s.
Dude, you probably knew somebody like me, right? Where, like, you know, in the sales department, like, there's those couple sales guys that always go out drinking and they party their balls off. There's always.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
a couple of those young sales guys that are like, they're partying with the DJs. They're partying with freaking, they're in places they should not have the right to be in. Like, they get access to everywhere. Dude, back then, you could go to any bar or nightclub and I could flip my business card. They'd be like, come on in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it was different times, man. Different times. Radio was king back then. You know what I mean? There was no internet. There was nothing, you know, like, yeah, no Spotify's. Everybody was still listening to the radio. Radio was important.
Dude, Radio can be important, but they're too fucking stupid to do it. I know how to fix radio, but no one would ever listen to me about that. So
how could you fix the, you know, a dying industry? How would you do that?
Well, first of all, like I think like stations like sports stations and talk news stations are always going to be relevant, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like music stations, what I would do is I would fire all the DJs, right? And I would bring in interesting people who went out and knew the city, right? Okay.
Oh, okay.
And we're getting into, I'd have young, wild people, right?
Yeah.
And I would let them play whatever the fuck they wanted to play. And I'd let them talk as much as they wanted to talk, right? Because the way the radio was is in the 90s, they had switched from paper diaries is the way they found out how many people listened to it, right?
Yeah.
Very unreliable. People would just say, oh, I listen to Q101. And they would draw a line in the morning. They'd be like, I listened all day. And they draw the straight line all the way down.
Okay,
this person listened for 12 hours a day. And they went to this personal people meter, which is like they encoded the signals. And they put these little beepers on people. And then they realized that people weren't listening like how they thought they were listening.
Yeah.
But it fucked them up because they were like, okay, well, this is what's telling us is that people don't want to hear people talking, right? And that's why in music stations, you don't hear people talking anymore, right? But in reality, everything has changed. And like if I listen to local radio, I want to hear them talking about places they went locally. I want to hear about shit that's going on in the city, like place of music. But like, tell me what's up. Like, I want it to be, and I would basically make it where like an Instagram or TikTok influencer, right? Would have their own radio show, right?
So not necessarily like a morning show style.
It'd be a lifestyle show.
Yeah. Because you know, we know morning shows, it's like yucca and, you know, funny, you know, stupid bullshit and stuff like that.
I want to be listening to it and be like, oh man, they talked about this pizza joint, right?
Yeah.
Or like, oh man, they went to this, they saw this concert, right? And told me about what this concert's like. Fuck man, I would have loved to have been at that concert, right? Like that's what you need.
Yeah, longer talk breaks and, you know, less commercials.
I would limit the commercials and I would jack up the rates on the commercials, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I would do other creative sponsorship stuff, you know, where like old school style where it's like DJs doing reads for products and shit. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and I would make it more of a like
social
bridge feed between social media and on air.
Yeah. I understand. I get that.
Yeah. Like I want to hear the stories by the young guy who went out last night. Right. And he was out till 3 a.m. and how he barely made it into the radio station and like what happened to him last night and where he went. And like that, like he figured out that like he went to 3 more bars for the receipts in his pocket. Like that's the shit I want to hear.
Yeah. So that's kind of morning showy though. That has that kind of a little bit of a feel to it, but more just social awareness or not social, but you know, local awareness. Yeah,
hyper local,
you
know what I mean? fun shit, dude.
Yeah. What's happening in the city around you? What's happening? Yeah, they do a decent job with that.
Call into the radio station again.
Oh yeah, nobody takes calls anymore, bro. It's too unpredictable.
Yeah, but they still have the 7-second delay, right?
Yeah, I know they do. Yeah.
They could dump a call or like bleep somebody. That's not hard to do.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't gone. Somebody hasn't tried like more of a social media style radio station, right? Where they
if Instagram can automatically bleep me when I add captions, right? I don't. Have you ever done that where you swear in a video and you added captions and it
a lot of times
you
they miss it. A lot of times they miss it, but
maybe you need to ask about it. Like,
oh fuck!
That's what I would do. I would make it fun again. You know?
Yeah. I just don't know if people are listening to the radio anymore. When you get in the car, do you still listen to the radio?
Yeah. Well, no, I listen to, I either listen to radio or I listen to audiobooks.
Okay.
Do you remember in the 90s, right? People going to work and they'd be like, holy shit, did you hear what they're talking about on the radio today? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also I'd have like all of that content as podcasts, right? So like if people missed it, they could go listen to it later.
Yeah. I mean, most stations do that these days. Most stations, they record their show and put it out in podcast form. At least a lot of the stations I've worked at do that now. But yeah, I mean, dude, it's interesting though, because it's one of those things where, you know, people probably don't listen to the radio as much anymore because it's so, they have so many other options. You know what I mean? They just,
dude, most people still listen to the radio.
You think so?
Most people do, because most people don't give a fuck.
I see. I find it the other way around. I feel like most people I know don't listen to the radio. They just get in their car and turn on their Spotify or turn on whatever. You know what I mean? They're not listening because they don't want to listen to commercials.
But why would you listen to music on the radio, right? When you have Spotify, that you would listen to it if there was some dude on there telling crazy stories.
Yeah, of course. No, yes, I agree with you. This is weird that, or it's not weird. It's obvious why, but I don't know. I still listen to the radio in my car. I'm a radio junkie. You know what I mean? I listen to the commercials because I like hearing the commercials and I like hearing the jingles and I like hearing the talking up the ramp. You know, I'm a radio guy like through and through. You know what I mean? So like,
I bet you radio still reaches like 90% of the market.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if those numbers are accurate.
It's those people who don't give a fuck about Spotify and they don't care about listening to commercials. So those are the ones who respond to the ads. So, like,
yeah. I mean, obviously people are still making, they're still selling ads. So enough people are still listening to it. I mean,
it's not as expensive as it was, but there's, you know, it's,
yeah,
I don't know. I still keep in touch with some of those radio guys, you know, and they're all just like, yeah, I'm still here.
I still remember the first time my first gig. Well, it was technically my second. I did my first promo gig was at NBA All-Star Week. They had a e-waste delivery like thing, and for some reason, one of our sales guys, that was one of their clients, like the e-waste thing. So my first gig at ESPN promo was out there in a parking lot, you know, just standing there, you know, handing out license plate frames. I think it was license plate frames we were handing out to people as they were coming to drop off the e-waste shit. You know what I mean? Like that was my first gig. And then my second gig was at, I was doing bar trivia. Right. So it was an Irish bar. I would go down there, ask trivia questions and shit and give away t-shirts or license plate frames or whatever the fuck. And I remember the second gig I went, I showed up because they gave me the wrong address. And when I got to there, after I found the right place, I got there, the sales guy, Rob Sandstrom, he was standing outside the thing and he fucking bawled me out for like, because I was late because I couldn't find the fucking place. Dude, he yelled at me for like 3 minutes, dude, just fucking laid into me. My client fucking, you know, you're late. Da, da, da. Like, dude, and I remember thinking to myself, holy fuck, dude, like he takes this shit like way serious. Like, and, oh, but dude. I mean, it was what you quickly realize how important money is to these sales guys. You know what I mean? Like they live and fucking die by that shit. Right. Cause I didn't know, like, I didn't know how
fucking hard they had to do to get that money, man.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, so this guy's bawling me out, dude. He's fucking just giving it to me. Right. Like you fucking, da, 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 da. And I'm just like, holy fuck. Come to realize later, like I realize how hard it is to get these clients and stuff. But like, you know, I was like, holy dude, this guy's fucking crazy.
I was more like, I would find, because I was in those situations a lot, and I tried not to ball people out, but I did boss everybody around. Like, you go there, you do this, you do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would tell everybody what to do. But what I would also do is I would, you know, and I learned this move from my dad, was I would go bribe them up front, right? So like, I try to run into them. I know I got an event on Saturday from noon to two. like I try to find those promo people and be like, you working my shit this weekend? Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm like, can I get you a drink? Can I get you some snacks?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What do you want? I'm like, because here's what I need you to do when you're out there. And I'm like, and they would always, I'm like, I need you to be earlier than you normally are. Right. And I need you to do this and then the other. And they're like, okay, yeah, yeah, man. Cool. No problem.
You were my Alan Sliwa. Alan Sliwa was the best sales guy at the station because he treated everybody. Dude. He treated everybody that way. Right. He knew who buttered his bread, basically, is what I'm trying to get at. If the promo guys, we all took care of him the best. You know what I mean? Because he took care of every gig.
Yeah, after I give him everybody like, here's like $10 at Subway. Right.
He'd always offer to buy drinks. He'd always offer, you know, can I go get you guys food? Can I do this? Like, he took care of us. So we went above and beyond for him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when fucking Rob, what's his face, fucking was a gig for him. Like, nobody helped him because he was an asshole.
They would see my events hit the calendar and they'd ask to be in my events.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best people would be like, hey, I see you got that Saturday event. Like, can I work that one? Can I work that event? Right. Yeah, they were fucking
Alan was like, Alan was kind of like you in a sense that, like, he's an East Coast guy. Not you're not East Coast, but like that's, you know, Midwest, dude, East Coast. Like, he's that kind of guy. Yeah.
I would get there and we'd be so in tune. I'd be like, here's what my guys are going to be doing. And I'd be talking to the client and they'd be back there making me look good. And
yeah, I'm like, exactly.
Golden. And then they make it easier for me to sell another one again.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is great. Yeah, dude, that's exactly how you had to treat those people.
Yeah, no, he was the best, dude. Alan Sliwa
didn't always work out though like that. I mean, I've had to get in fights with people, you know, but
I'm telling you, man, I would have loved to know 90s Luke, man. 90s Luke seems like a lot of fun.
Dude, the promo guys couldn't even hang with me at that time, dude. We would go out and partying and shit, and they'd be fucking dropping off like flies, dude. You know, like I gotta go because I'm staying with my mom and she doesn't like it when I fall in the house drunk. I'm like, all right.
That's so cool, funny, man.
Dude, it was great, man. I was making so much money, right? And like, I had no overhead. Dude, my first apartment by myself in Chicago was $750 a month, including all utilities, and it was a 3-bedroom apartment.
So cheap, dude. That's crazy.
When I stayed there for like 3 years, all kinds of randos were staying with me when I was there, right? I had some dudes could be like, hey, I need to crash in the city. Like, cool. Like, can I stay in your place for a month while I figure some shit out? No problem. Right?
Like, flop house.
Dude, it was, I would come home and like, randos all the time. And when I left that place, I told the landlord, I go, hey, when I leave here, I go, jack the price up to $1,000 a month. I go, you're still going to rent it immediately. And he did.
Yeah, that's smart.
He just didn't know. Dude, he didn't know. It was awesome. I threw parties in there. Yeah, it was great.
So, oh, man.
All right, well.
All right, bro. Let's get out of here.
Look, I'll try to tell more of these old radio stories because I got more than I could possibly remember. And they're all just so fucking stupid, bro.
Yeah, I got Disneyland stories for days I could tell you guys about. Dude,
All right.
Yeah, we gotta tap back in. Tap back in.
Taste the biscuit. All right, party people. I would like to thank our beautiful patrons this week. Thank you to Kyle Foote from the Footwork Woodworks. Show your face, Kyle. Matthew Gerard from the Wooden Moustache. Lee O'Man from Rainbow Street. Big Mike Holmes from the Broken Lead Woodworks. Dave One Grit Work from the Rustic Joy Podcast. I don't know. He's got a woodwork. My mom, Elise Gelwood. Tim from Turgworks. Dave the Thriller Miller. He's got a beard like a... I don't fucking know. I didn't even think about this week. Let's see. There you go. He's got a beard like frozen mac and cheese, right? Like that comes out of the tray, right? It's fucking intense. Whatever. Billy Essence from the Simple Woodwood Co. Corey Stanley from Odyssey CNC. Eric, the unofficial lube of the podcast from Bubble Shoots.
Thanks, Eric.
Alan from Ormworks, the Collingwood Canoe Company. We need proof of life on him, man. Seriously. What happened?
I haven't looped it yet.
Oh. Ryder from Ryder's Custom Creations. Jason Sullivan from JM Sullivan Tool Works and Tool Bags. Kamani from Van Stray Designs. The fine folks at PL Smith, congratulations to them on their newest baby. There's now four of them. And it's funny, it's Luke and Priscilla, and their kids' first initials are L and P. So they just doubled it up again, right?
Yeah.
PL Smith is official for another generation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Mr. I Can't Ride a Bicycle Outside, Otis from Pinehead Elite Woodworks. You see that video of him fucking hitting the tree with the bike?
Yes.
I mean, I love that that guy has no self of no value in his self worth, man. Like, that guy just fucking completely throws his body into it. He's like, you know, I want to be, you know, following him more closely. Nip from Nick Brim Woodworking. Judd from Nivens and Sons, the Mountie. I'm really not feeling it today. I'm just so tired. Justin, your Apocalypse BFF from Campfire Woodworks. Mac and Tracy Woodworks. But it's Tracy. But it's Tracy. And Ben from Wheel Wood Designs.
He messaged the group today or yesterday that this song has been stuck in his head all week.
Dude, this song has been living in my head rent free since I first heard it.
All right, guys, we love you. Thank you for being our patrons. We really appreciate you. I've got a 3D printer this week because of you guys. I really appreciate you guys. Yep. We love you.
Thank you asking about the shirts. I'm like, sorry, guys. We bought Ben a printer.
Yeah. We'll get to the shirts. Give us a couple of months to raise some more money. A
couple more months.
We'll get to the shirts. But we love you guys, and if you want to be a patron of this podcast, go to the link at the bottom of every episode, click it, and you guys can join up and decide how you want to support us. And we love you guys for being here every week, and we're going to get back to telling some stories, so tune in for that. Are you frozen?
No, I'm here. I was just looking at something on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just remembered that I need to pull money out of the Patreon.
Oh. All right. Get us out of here, man.
Taste the biscuits, people. Take it away, Tim.
Later, guys.
This has been a Conman Creative production. Text us anytime at 908-768-2664 or send us a message on our Instagram, The Jointery Podcast. You can find Ben at Condorosa Creations or Luke at Luke in the Garage. Everywhere that social media is sold. That's garage, not garage. Say it properly.